welcome to a portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church, this portion from God's Word for your consideration. May the Holy Spirit be upon all the believers for the Word, the blessing that our Lord intends, and may you be uplifted and built up as a part of Jesus' church. We have an affirmation of our faith we share each time we are together, this one from Titus in the second chapter. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. The reading of God's word for today is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. And we're looking at the first 12 verses. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than the one you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. This is Pastor Appreciation Month, and we have much to discuss. Pastor appreciation is biblical, and we should never forget that. The sermon notes contain the Bible verses where you may find calls to appreciate the leaders of the church. My retirement is on the calendar. Part of my job, as Jesus showed us, and we talked about it the last couple of weeks, part of my job is for me to prepare you for my leave-taking. So, for example, it's Pastor Appreciation Month. It isn't Gary McManus Appreciation Month. It's Pastor Appreciation Month. We're praying for your next pastor, whom you will also celebrate in 2024. So, this month, we are beginning the process of preparation for my leave-taking. We're doing that first by talking about it. We're not denying it. We're not avoiding it. I told Deb last week that I had the feeling after worship that I shared some really good information with you, but I didn't think anyone really wanted to hear it. You know, that's okay. I understand that. However, I share with you that there was a funeral for a pastor last week at Zionsville. I had worked with this pastor in the church camping program for several years. I learned that the pastor died a week ago. That pastor was my age. One way or another, we want to prepare for my leave-taking. Here's one tip for you to remember. I believe that you need to remember that you are not going to replace me. No one should ever be told that they are a replacement for someone else. In the army, it's okay to be a replacement. But the word replacement denies the individuality of the person who is called a replacement. It also puts a big burden on them. It's like saying that they are filling someone else's shoes. Well, you can't fill someone else's shoes unless they wear the same shoe size, right? And that phrase, fill someone else's shoes, is a saying that dates back to the American Civil War, when there was basically only one size of shoe. Shoe sizes didn't come about until 1880. So we can throw away the old phrase, fill someone else's shoes, and stop using the word replacement. Here are the words to remember. You're going to be finding, interviewing, and calling the next lead pastor of Daleville Christian Church. Having said that, let me explain why it's important to not use the word replacement. You're not going to replace me because I am irreplaceable. I am irreplaceable, but please understand my use of the word. Now, to me, being irreplaceable is not necessarily a compliment. I'll explain that in a minute. That I'm irreplaceable is a testament to my uniqueness, not to any excellence. Let me put it this way. A mutant is irreplaceable, right? A mutant is irreplaceable. Now, I'm not saying I'm a mutant, but I am irreplaceable. I want to suggest that since I am irreplaceable, then you don't want to replace me. You want to find someone better than me. That's what I'm aiming for you, Daleville Christian Church. I was once told by a church member who has since passed on, who was certainly a one-of-a-kind himself, that I was the most unique pastor he had ever known. I remind people that funerals, that every person is unique. We all have different fingerprints and voice prints, and at funerals we acknowledge a unique creation of our God has died. God acknowledges even the passing of the least of his creatures when Jesus said that little birds fall down dead, and God knows. So it's right for the people at the funeral to gather and acknowledge their loss of their loved one because Jesus also said... Excuse me. Jesus also said, you are of much more value than the birds. So at funerals, we acknowledge the unique person who has died. But remember what my older brother told me. I was so unique, he wasn't sure that I was human. My brother thought I might be a Neanderthal. We've talked about this. I'm sure that when the time comes that you will not find very many pastor candidates with the word Neanderthal on their resume. And I'm certain you won't find many Neanderthals that graduated from Duke. I was thinking the other day, my brother didn't even consider that I might be adopted, an adopted human being. No, my brother went right for the Neanderthal subspecies. So please, don't try to replace me. And here's one of my weaknesses. I can acknowledge that I am unique. I've never doubted that. But I also I've had a difficult time appreciating it. I simply have trouble accurately evaluating my own abilities, my own work, and my own accomplishments. Believe me, I've worked on this for years. And after all these years, I'm still not very good at understanding my own abilities. That's why I keep your pastor appreciation cards and read them throughout the year. I receive them, I acknowledge them, I believe them, I just have a hard time understanding them. So while my friend tells me that I have to give you lots of time to prepare for my leave-taking, I'm accepting his pastor experience. I want to give you lots of time to prepare for my leave-taking, not because I think my leave-taking would be hard to embrace. Remember, why the Lord even called me to this work remains a bit of a mystery to me. Sometimes I think the Lord called me to this work because the Lord knew I'd say yes to him. But like I said, that whole issue is my problem, not yours. Your problem will be in finding, calling, and retaining a new lead pastor for Daleville Christian Church. But my advice is, don't try to replace me. Find someone better than me. I'm sure and confident that it can be done, and our Lord will help you. Even now, I'm in hopes that the Lord is preparing someone to come here sometime after I have retired. So here's some free advice. The Apostle Paul mentions the same advice, and I remind you of it today as we talk about my leave-taking. The Apostle Paul had to deal with people who thought, claimed, and believed that they were better apostles than the Apostle Paul. Some of these apostles considered themselves a little bit superior to Paul, and maybe a lot superior to Paul. And what was worse, they came teaching a different spin on the gospel to the Gentiles. These little bit superior apostles came to say that these Gentiles, in order to be real Christians, like themselves, they need to be circumcised, since they were circumcised and all the 12 disciples that had followed Jesus were circumcised men. The issue for us in the 21st century is not circumcision. But a problem for us can be claiming to be, or even wanting to be, a little bit superior. So hear me, the issue in the 21st century is people claiming to be, or even wanting to be, a little bit superior follower of Jesus. The Apostle Paul would have none of it. Paul wrote, "I do not think I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way." 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatian churches about those who trouble you. One translation reads that those super apostles are agitators. So let me give you the modern day version of the Apostle Paul's advice. Don't hire a celebrity pastor after I've retired. Today I'm sharing some free advice with regard to finding, calling, and retaining a pastor. Free advice, and I believe we will discover this is biblical advice. To say it plainly, the advice is, after I retire, you're looking for a new lead pastor, don't hire a celebrity pastor. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter's letter addresses the elders, and I am an elder, one among many, not superior to, only the preaching elder. That's what distinguishes me in the congregation. Peter's letter says that elders, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. That verse got two of my hero pastors fired. I read recently of a husband and wife pastor in a popular church, come to find out that a lot of the offerings at the church were going to them personally. The pastor and his wife in Dallas, Texas, were accused of using church funds to purchase ATVs, expensive meals, designer clothes, and items for their children. Ah, the designer clothes. That brings us to the book I just read entitled Preachers and Sneakers. This is another category of celebrity pastor we need to talk about. Now, I'm not talking about so-called pastors who have their own television shows and their own television networks. No, I've had to educate myself about celebrity pastors, and I want to share with you what I've learned because you might not know much about celebrity pastors. I mean, everyone knows that no church could hire Joel Osteen away from his church in Houston, Texas, which claims to be the largest American church. No, there's another set of celebrity pastors, and I had to educate myself about these pastors. And I want to educate you a little bit about celebrity pastors also. And one guy put it all in a book that I read for you entitled Preachers in Sneakers. The book isn't about preachers and exercise or fitness running. No, it's about fashion and money. Conspicuous consumption. The author, Ben Kirby, is a Bible Belt doctor's son whose family lived in a small town. They attended church regularly and were consistent tithe givers to their church. One day, Ben had what he calls was a Harley moment, referring to the motorcycle Harley-Davidson. The family were outside the house one day when their pastor pulled up on a brand new, gleaming, and expensive Harley-Davidson motorcycle. Ben knew that the Harley had to cost more than his family's annual tithe to the church. Ben Kirby also knew that there were times that his family skipped vacations or other extras or luxuries to be sure to give to the church for what Ben thought were other people's necessities. Ben Kirby calls that moment his Harley moment. Ben Kirby believes and hopes that every American Christian will have a Harley moment. When you see Christian leaders or pastors living a lifestyle that looks nothing like Jesus's or the disciples. Ben Kirby's book is a book that raises questions more than anything else. Not only that, but Ben Kirby raises his questions in a light-hearted manner. Ben Kirby is not angry. Ben Kirby does not condemn. But like our Lord Jesus did, Ben Kirby asks questions. Allow me to share from Ben Kirby's book. The book began as an Instagram post. You know what Instagram is. It's a social media account. The author of the book, Preachers and Sneakers, started with an Instagram account with an idea that a friend of his said would be very popular. So Ben gave it a shot. Ben is a Christian. As I mentioned, he started this whole thing as a fluke. He was watching a church service online of a very popular church in North Carolina, which you and I never heard of. He noticed something about the leader of the praise band that the church had. The band leader was wearing shoes that retail for or could be sold for anywhere between $800 and $1,000. Ben wondered, how could the very popular pastor preach each week in a new designer outfit that most of the congregation could never afford? So Ben fired off his social media message to the church he'd been watching on screen. Hey, how much do you pay your musician so that he can wear $800 sneakers? Please hire me. And that is all it took. Ben had a media friend who said he needed to start a separate account just for this topic, Preachers and Sneakers. And Ben posted photos of worship leaders and pastors next to the hefty price tags of the retail value of the shoes they were wearing. Ben did not add any comments, just the photo of the church leader and the price of his shoes. In 1 month, Ben's account, Preachers and Sneakers, had 100,000 followers. It caught the attention of the New York Times and Fox News and the Wall Street Journal and just about every other big media outlet. Ben raises the question, is it okay to amass fame and followers from a faith based on a humble, impoverished rabbi? Is it morally okay to generate wealth from preaching, singing, and selling the Christian gospel? How is it different from selling the gospel? Do we really believe that divine blessings always carry the words large or largesse, or as in large attendance, large following, large income, large houses, large housing allowances with a pool or your very own runway for your very own stable of jet aircraft? Ben asks the same questions about popularity. We Americans have become a celebrity-obsessed culture. That's simply a truth we cannot deny. Do we not have people, criminals, who have committed horrible crimes for no other reason than the fame and notoriety that their actions bring? April 16th, 2007. You remember the Virginia Tech shootings? Virginia Tech shootings were a spree shooting that comprised two attacks on the campus of the Virginia Tech. In Virginia, the senior Virginia Tech student, the killer, killed 32 people, wounded 17 others. He killed two people in one building. Then before going to the next building for more killing, the killer mailed a multimedia package to NBC News in New York, then proceeded to the classroom building for more killing. These are the lengths some would go for notoriety, even to just be in the national evening news. We must confess that Americans and many American Christians are celebrity obsessed. Ben Kirby sees the American church's problems in three categories. First of all, preachers who become celebrities, or Ben asks, even preachers who want to become celebrities. Two, celebrities who become Christians. They're a separate problem. And then celebrity Christians who become members of a particular pastor's church. Ben Kirby says he has lost count of the number of pastors who claim that Justin Bieber is a member of their church. That's funnier if you know about Justin Bieber. So, Daleville Christian Church, when the time comes, will you reach for and call a popular preacher, a popular pastor, a pastor who already has a following on his social media accounts? Do you want to call a pastor who will draw a crowd? These are hard questions, are they not? But my free advice, although it's also my considered opinion, don't hire a celebrity pastor. We can be ashamed as Christian Americans that the angriest responses to Ben Kirby's questions came from Americans who claim the name of Jesus Christ. But Ben Kirby states in his book, "You, the reader, are loved by God, loved just as much as God loves any celebrity." And Kirby adds, if you're reading this book because you hate me for starting this discussion, you are still welcome here. Kirby further asks, how can we be followers of Jesus and also be diehard followers of anyone else, any celebrity? When does one's love for another supersede the love for Christ? We talked about Pastor Apostle Paul's response to these questions. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. And later in that same letter, chapter 3, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The story was told at my seminary, Duke Divinity School, that in heaven we will all be seated around the divine communion table to break bread in the kingdom of God with Messiah Christ himself presiding. When Jesus moves to the table and takes up the bread and the cup, there will be a voice from the back that says, "Oh, that's not how Pastor Bob did it. Jesus isn't doing it right." Friends, don't hire a celebrity pastor. Amen.